West Coast College Training, July 11 through 17, 2011, Occidental, California. Title, A Man of God. Evening Session, Message 1, A Man of God. Scripture reading, 1 Timothy 6:11 and 2 Timothy 3:17.
Well, brothers and sisters, what a privilege to be together!
Amen.
Hallelujah for this college training.
Amen.
Do you know how we got here?
Jesus.
Jesus is getting us together. Come and see the saints in one accord. His love is knitting us together to the stature of the fullness of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, the burden of this training is a man of God.
Amen.
Not just a man, but a man of God.
Amen.
I'd like us to begin by reading two verses from Timothy. Let's read 1 Timothy 6:11 with a strong spirit. We'll read the two verses in Timothy that use this phrase, man of God. So, 1 Timothy 6:11. Okay, we ready? Together, go. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, meekness. Amen. And how about we read 12 also? Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the eternal life to which you were called and have confessed the good confession before many witnesses. So speak to your neighbor three times, but you, O man of God, but you, O man of God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. How about we read 16 and 17? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. We got it? Okay, go. All Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Well, I know some of you, at least, many of you don't know, but some of us remember a song. When I grow up, I want to be a man of God. I want to be someone who is full of life. I want to be someone who loves the Lord, and so I choose be a man of... That's good right there. Everybody that chooses to be a man of God, say amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, tonight we come to an awesome word on the man of God. But to really understand this precious language, a man of God, sometimes translated a God-man, we need a little bit of a view. A little bit of a view. Okay, let's look at number one, first of all, and then I want to speak an opening word. Number one, the men of God mentioned in the Old Testament were God-fearing, God-loving, and God-seeking saints who lived a godly life to express and represent God. So that's a great help. Just to see this utterance is a great help to see the significance of a man of God. However, they did not possess the divine life and nature and were not men of God in the New Testament sense. So we have a number of verses there opening to us and unveiling to us five men from the Old Testament who would be considered as men of God. This is Moses and David and Samuel and Elijah and Elisha. But as the sentence in Roman numeral 1 explains, these dear ones in the Old Testament had very precious characteristics in their life. And many of the details of their living really help us to appreciate and to know the depth of what it means to be a man of God. However, none of these actually were able to be a man of God in the New Testament sense. Genuinely partaking of the divine nature and of the divine life. So I'd like to begin, before we get into the rest of the outline, I want to just open to you, give you several points as an opening word. Number one, the top unique model and reality of a man of God is Jesus! Amen. Jesus Christ, the God-man. There's nobody in the entire universe like Jesus Christ. Amen. This Jesus is a man of God. And I'd like to just review for you a little bit, or present to you some precious aspects of Jesus Christ as a man of God. First of all, in Luke chapter 2, there are a number of verses concluding, and I want to conclude with verse 52, but in the 40s, around verse 40 through around 52, there's some verses that show us Jesus as a man of God at age 12. Is anybody in here 12? But this Jesus at age 12 was a man of God. And for your appreciation's sake, I'd like to just read from the Greek translation from Wiest some of these verses so that we would be full of appreciation, which is a root definition for faith. Faith comes through hearing the word of Christ. What's the second definition of faith? Appreciating. Whatever you hear, you begin to appreciate, that's faith. So we want to hear, we want to appreciate. So I'll just read a few verses beginning with 41. You can just listen and enjoy. Now his parents customarily went to Jerusalem each year for the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up in accordance with the custom of the feast. And having completed their stay during the days of the feast, while they were returning, Jesus the boy. I like that. That's the utterance in Greek. Jesus the boy. Who's the boy?
Jesus.
Who's the boy?
Jesus.
Jesus the boy. Amen. There's no boy like the boy. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, hallelujah for the boy. Jesus, the boy, lingered behind in Jerusalem. And his parents did not know of it. But supposing him to be in the company of their road companions, went a day's journey along the road. And then they conducted an intensive search for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and not having found him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching diligently for him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they found him in the outbuildings of the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers. And these are very well-educated people, many maybe PhDs, quote-unquote. Both hearing them and asking them questions. And all who were listening to him were astounded to the point of a mental imbalance at his grasp and his comprehension and his ability to give them answers which exhibited a discriminating private judgment. That means when the boy spoke, he was giving them a discriminating private judgment. It meant whatever this boy spoke was God speaking. This is an unusual private judgment. It's God Himself. And having seen him, they were struck with astonishment to the point of loss of self-control. They have never seen a boy like the boy. How about we shout two times, hallelujah for the boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for the boy. There's no boy like Jesus. Anyway, then a few verses later, while putting people into a situation of mental imbalance and a loss of self-control, because his answers releasing and exhibiting a discriminating private judgment, still, there was something about this boy, a human being, a man, but God was being exhibited. God was being expressed, defined, explained. And in spite of being able to put everybody into a state of mental imbalance, finally his mother found him, and she was upset with him. My child, why did you treat us in this manner? And blah, blah, blah. She went on and on and on. But I think it's by verse 52. I love this, the way it utters here. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and subjected himself in constant obedience to them. He subjected himself in constant obedience to them. Isn't that wonderful? On one hand, over everyone, by his exhibiting this private discriminating judgment. On the other hand, absolutely submissive to the uttermost. Fully subjecting himself to his parents in complete obedience. Absolute obedience. He was very balanced. Anyway, I just want you to appreciate a man of God is seen the most clearly in Jesus. Amen. The boy, the man. But this is at age 12. None of us were like this at age 12. But hallelujah, that boy, that man is in my spirit.
Amen.
Everybody that's happy to have the boy in you, say amen.
Amen.
Then in chapter 4 of Luke, look at that, chapter 4. Again, of course, he was not 12 years old here, but he's in his early 30s. Beginning with verse 18, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to announce the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to send away and release those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of
Jubilee."
Da 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 da, Jubilee! So with your neighbor, shout two or three times, Jubilee, hallelujah!
Jubilee, hallelujah! Jubilee, hallelujah! Jubilee, hallelujah!
So he was reading these verses as the verses from the Old Testament. But then, when he rolled up the scroll, he gave it back to the attendant, he sat down, the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all bore witness to him, and marveled at the words of grace proceeding out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" They realized he was a man. He was a man. He was a kid that a lot of them knew. He knew some knew the parents. They knew that, "Is this not the son of Joseph?" But they were baffled. They were wondering. There's a mystery there. And I like this word. There's a mystery. Later we'll see in 1 Timothy, there's a word called the mystery of godliness. There's a mystery here. A man of God, a man who expresses God. When this man speaks, God speaks. When this man moves, whatever he does, God and he and God are one. God is testified in this man and through this man. This man, Jesus, is the mystery of godliness. I also appreciate in John chapter 19, brothers and sisters, before the Lord was crucified, people were screaming, they were cursing, they were screaming at Pilate because Pilate wasn't fully cooperating. "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And three times Pilate said, literally in Greek, he says, "I find no fault in him at all, not one." This was a man of God. A man constituted with God, occupied with God, filled with God. This man was a man of God. So I find no fault in him at all, not one. Ask your neighbor, is that true about you? No. No. Anyway, I want us to appreciate Jesus as the man of God. And brothers and sisters, then this wonderful Jesus Christ was crucified, and after 3 days he was resurrected from the dead. And like 1 Corinthians 15:45b says, this last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He became a life-giving spirit. Amen. Well, what does this mean? Brothers and sisters, he was not here to be a God-man just for himself. But he was a God-man for the sake of God's eternal purpose. And in resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit, so that he as the man of God could be continued. So that he, as the man of God, could be expanded. So, I think within us are about 10 zillion quadrillion hallelujahs for Christ becoming a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
How about we shout, hallelujah, Christ is the life-giving spirit. Hallelujah.
Christ is the life-giving spirit.
That means the man of God has become a life-giving spirit. What does spirit mean? Spirit means coming. What does spirit mean? Reaching.
Amen.
What does spirit mean? Entering.
Amen.
What does spirit mean? Mingling. What does spirit mean? Saturating.
Amen.
What does spirit mean? Permeating.
Amen.
Making us one with Him. So that by our experiencing Him and enjoying Him, we can be His reproduction. To be a man of God is impossible by mere imitation. But we need to see and appreciate Jesus as the unique man of God with all the details. But none of us could, just by our effort, ever become a man of God to be His increase, His duplication. No way. The only hope is the fact that Christ is in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory.
Amen.
Colossians 1:27. Christ in you. The man of God in you.
Amen.
The hope of glory. The man of God in you, the hope of glory. This is our hope. Well, because of this, now in the Word, we see not just Jesus as the man of God, but let's take a few minutes with the Apostle Paul. Paul, who hated Jesus, hated his believers, eventually, when he was saved, he was knocked off his beast. The Lord spoke from the heavens. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Jesus is the man of God. Jesus is the man that Paul thought had been terminated, crucified. But he was resurrected. He's ascended. He's not only in the heavens, but hallelujah, became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
And the very ones that Paul was persecuting, he didn't realize. They were the increase and expansion and continuation of Jesus. Well, Paul specifically, brothers and sisters, was a person who practiced in detail to live as a man of God. And I appreciate especially in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, Paul said that his living, because he was able to be one with, experience, and enjoy Christ as the life-giving Spirit, the man of God as the life-giving Spirit, because of this, Paul was able to say in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is the man of God living again. So, brothers and sisters, it's possible to live the life of a man of God. Because Christ became a life-giving spirit. Amen.
Amen!
So he said, for to me to live is Christ. But if you study the book of Philippians carefully, and this book is loaded with rejoice! Rejoice in the Lord occasionally. Rejoice in the Lord when the weather is good. Rejoice in the Lord when?
Always.
Hallelujah. How about you and your neighbor rejoice in the Lord for 15 seconds any way you want to? Hallelujah. Okay. Who are we rejoicing in? We're rejoicing in the man of God.
Amen.
And as a result of Paul's enjoying Jesus, the man of God who's become the life-giving spirit, in chapter 4, which has that verse, rejoice in the Lord always, it also gets into a very detailed description of a human living. To experience Christ and enjoy Christ, to live Him, becomes very human. But the humanity is full of divinity. Wow. There's human patience, but it's saturated with divine patience. There's human love, but filled with and permeated with the divine love. Like the fingers of a glove, saturated and full of the genuine living fingers. So, brothers and sisters, the end of Philippians, a book on living Christ, ends with the living of a God-man, a man of God. The living is very human, but God is expressed. God is testified. Jesus Christ is able to continue His living on this earth again. Amen!
Amen.
Then another illustration, brothers and sisters. In Acts 27 and 28, Paul was being taken to Rome as a prisoner. Can you imagine being guarded by 200 Roman soldiers? And you're the only prisoner on the ship, I think. But he, because he was in oneness with Jesus Christ, the man of God, and in union with Him, and saturated with Him, and occupied with Him, and one with Him, eventually, on this very difficult journey, He was the captain. He was the authority. Everything of death and darkness was under His feet. And Christ was expressed. The man of God, Jesus, was being displayed and testified to all these soldiers. Praise the Lord! Well, brothers and sisters, I believe a lot of those ones on that ship got saved. And I believe many of them will see someday in the New Jerusalem. And they'll tell us about that story. They saw a man of God. They saw a man of God. But I'm still touched. You know what attracted the Apostle Paul? I would say, because you know what? What helped Paul to be open is that he saw a man of God. In fact, he saw a number of them that he was killing, he was persecuting, but especially in Acts chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, the whole chapter, Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. His face was like an angel, but it means there's something human there, but there's something divine there. And as he was speaking, Apparently it was a man. Actually it was God. But eventually Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand." And they could not get over this. They began to stone him. But as they stoned him, he was calling on the name of the God-man Jesus. He was calling, "Lord Jesus! Lord Jesus!" He was calling with no shame at all on the man of God, Jesus Christ. Saul, before he became Paul, watching this, he saw a man of God in Stephen. And no doubt, that really helped him to realize something about God's economy and God's desire to go through many steps to become the wonderful, exalted Christ who's the life-giving Spirit, but to actually get into us, to make us His continuation so that He, Jesus, could be living on the earth today in His divinely enriched humanity through all of us. So all of us have hope, not by imitating the man of God, but by experiencing Him, by enjoying Him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of living the life of a man of God. And so I want to conclude this opening word, brothers and sisters, with John 6:57. Jesus was the unique man of God. And what did He say? He said, "As the living Father has sent Me, and I live because of the Father." Listen to this. Because of the Father. This means the factor, the intrinsic factor, the energizing element of my living is I live because of the Father. Then He says, "He who eats Me." He who eats Me. He who touches Me, receives Me, experiences Me, enjoys Me. He who eats Me shall live because of Me. I will become the spontaneous, automatic, energizing element. I will be the factor that allows you to live the life of a man of God. Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Brothers and sisters, isn't it good to be in a training where not only we hear, but we're in a room where we're all practicing to exercise our spirit? I think you had one of the sessions this morning was on exercising our spirit. Oh, brothers and sisters, every time we exercise our spirit, we get to be one with the man of God. We get to experience Him and enjoy Him. Praise the Lord! Amen. These two brothers right here, you two brothers stand up. These two brothers are my neighbors. Never dreamed last year that I would live upstairs and they would live downstairs. But I sure enjoy having them and the others there and all the other runs in the neighborhood. But I appreciate these brothers often help me to exercise my spirit. Because they love to exercise their spirit. Praise the Lord! So what shall we sing to everybody, brothers? Oh, He's the wonderful Spirit in me. He's the wonderful Spirit in you. God is in the Son's a Spirit. He's the wonderful Spirit in us. Isn't it good to have us each other for neighbors? Yes. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, there's hallelujahs all the time. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So with your neighbor for 10 seconds, as many hallelujahs as possible. To exercise our spirit issues in eating Jesus and living because of Him. He becomes the factor of our living. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, we're just left up to our own energy, our own thought. Okay, point one. Let me see, what should I do? I should look this way. Eventually, we become discouraged, condemned. But the Lord's desire is we would see and appreciate Him as the man of God. And this one is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
And His desire is that we would exercise our spirit, opening to Him, enjoying Him, so that we could be His continuation. Brothers and sisters, when I drove up, sorry I was so late. Everything got delayed, airport and blah, blah, blah. And I should have been here a long time ago, so I'm sorry. Amen. But brothers and sisters, when I came near the building and I heard the exercise of your spirit, I was like totally washed, like totally. Oh, so refreshing. So, brothers and sisters, thank the Lord. The man of God is in our spirit. Every time we exercise our spirit, we eat Him and live because of Him.
Amen.
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 Now, Roman numeral 2. In the New Testament sense, a man of God is one who partakes of God's life and nature, thus becoming one with God in his life and nature, and thereby expressing Him. A man of God, one with God in his life, in his nature, and thereby expressing Him. Expressing Him. It's automatic. It's spontaneous. If we exercise our spirit to be one with Him, become with Him, one with Him in His life, His nature, automatically there will be an expression. This is a man of God, living not by his own life, by his own nature, but by the divine life with the divine nature. Now, brothers and sisters, these A through G are very precious. And basically, A through G is defining what a man of God is like. What is a man of God? What is a man of God? I really appreciate these points. The first five letters all begin with He is. He is. He is. He is. He is. He's what? So we need to appreciate the details of what a man of God is. He is a human being who has become a child of God by receiving the divine life through regeneration. Regeneration. Brothers and sisters, I love the word regeneration. I call it regeneration. We got new genes. When we got regenerated, when we got born again anew, we got the genes of the man of God, Jesus.
Amen.
Your genes determine who you're going to be like. Everybody that has the genes of Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
The divine birth is awesome. Brothers and sisters, the greatest miracle in the whole universe is regeneration.
Amen.
But as many as received Him, to them He gave the authority to be the children of God. John 1:13 says, born not of this, not of that, but born of God. We're so happy to be together because all of us have been born of certain parents. My parents have gone to be with the Lord, Harry and Mabel, and I love them. But brothers and sisters, we have not only been born of flesh, but we have been born of the Spirit. And now, we have received the man of God into us as the divine life, with the divine nature, to give us the capacity to be a man of God. Brother Lee uses the illustration, suppose a dog received a human life and began to speak as a man and display a man, exhibit a man, CNN would be there in a moment. What a miracle. But suppose human beings received the life of God. The greatest miracle in the universe is that you and I, we could receive the God of the universe.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we should always be happy to the uttermost that we have been born of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So rejoice with your neighbor for 5 seconds that you are a child of God. When we received Christ, we received the man of God. We received the man who expresses God. Now the little points here. Belonging to the species of God. We now belong to the species of God because we have the same life and the same nature. Being regenerated through God the Spirit in His Spirit. That which is born of the capital S Spirit is Spirit. I thank the Lord from the depth of my being that I have been born of God.
Amen.
I have been born of the divine Spirit, the Spirit of the man of God, Jesus Christ, in my spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, he is a believer. Who is a man of God? He is a human being who has become a child of God by receiving the divine life through regeneration. He's a believer in Christ who partakes of the divine nature in an organic union with God. In an organic union with God. I hope you would open 2 Peter 1:4, and appreciate this verse. 2 Peter, would sisters, would you read verse 3, and then brothers read verse 4. Very good for us to exercise our spirit to do public reading. That's what 1 Timothy says. Exercise your spirit to do public reading of God's Word. Sisters, verse 3, brothers say amen every time they pause. Sisters. Amen. Amen. Brothers, through which He has granted to us
precious and exceedingly great promises, that through these we might become partakers of the divine nature,
Amen.
And having escaped the corruption which is in the world by lust.
Amen. Amen. So if you look at the note 3:11, because we've received the divine, the energy of the divine life, the energy of life enables us to overcome all obstacles and carry out all the excellent attributes. This is wonderful. By receiving the divine life, we've received the energy of life to enable us to be those who could actually live the life of a man of God. But then, because we've received the divine life, we have received the divine nature in verse 4. And because of the divine nature, the divine life and the divine nature, we have an organic union with God. Not just a kind of distant relationship, but an organic union. Because of this organic union with God, He, Jesus Christ, as the man of God, is fully partakeable. We are partakers of the divine nature. Praise the Lord! Not spectators, but partakers! Partakers of the divine nature. We get to partake of the man of God, Jesus Christ, through all of His exceeding great and precious promises. So we have His life in us as the energy to live the life of a man of God. And we partake of the divine nature so that we could be those who have a wonderful development. And all the verses after this in 1 Peter 1, verses 5 through 11, just show how this life develops and develops and develops in a very fine way, a very detailed way. But it begins with us, first of all, being regenerated. Secondly, being a partaker of the divine nature every day. Amen. We not only want to just receive initially, we want to be partakers of the divine nature every day, living in an organic union with the God-man, the man of God, Jesus. Amen. Then we can live a life of godliness, God manifested in the flesh. Now, we're a believer in Christ. We partake of the divine nature in an organic union with God. Number one, how? Through faith. All of us became partakers of the divine nature so we could live in an organic union. An organic union means, come on, John. It's not just He and I next to each other, but He and I inside of each other. But there's no way to describe that. This is an organic union. So, through faith, brothers and sisters, by our believing, by our hearing, appreciating, receiving, believing, we have become partakers of the divine nature. So it's through faith. It's through faith, brothers and sisters, that the man of God, with all of his human virtues that are jam-packed with divine attributes. You get that? All of his human virtues that are jam-packed with divine attributes. By faith, we have received this man of God with all these precious details into us. Into us. But then what? How else are we brought into an organic union with him? Through baptism. Anybody know Galatians 3:27? The essence of it is whoever is baptized into Christ Jesus has put Christ Jesus on. Come here, John. Come on up here. So when John believed through faith, the God-man Jesus Christ came into him. So John declared very clearly, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. So the God-man, the man of God came into him. But then through baptism, he gets baptized. Apparently he's in water. Actually, he's in the spirit of the God-man.
Amen.
Wow. He believed and the man of God got into him.
Amen.
Now he got baptized and he's in the man of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So brothers and sisters, we need more baptisms. We meet a lot of people on campus. How about this year would be the year for the most baptisms ever?
Amen.
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 What completes our union? Not just believing, but being baptized. Oh, he gets into us, we get into him. Hallelujah! Now, see, also as a man of God, he is a man who belongs to God, praise the Lord, and who is occupied and possessed by God. He belongs to God and he's occupied and possessed by God. We want to be those who in our daily living belong to God. Especially, we do not belong to self. We belong to God. When Christ died on the cross, brothers and sisters, he paid the biggest price that from henceforth we belong to God. We have been redeemed. We have been purchased. Hallelujah! We belong to God!
Amen.
How about we shout that? Hallelujah! I belong to God.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. I belong to God!
What a joy to belong to God!
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is a great matter. Belonging to Him, when we see this and realize they belong to Him, it allows us to be occupied by Him. If we don't realize so much, I belong to Him, not so easy to be occupied with Him. Not so easy to be possessed by Him. So it's a great matter. We need to pray, Lord, show me freshly how much I belong to You. That I could be occupied by You. I could be possessed by You. I love Romans 14:8. Paul's testimony is awesome, brothers and sisters. He was a man of God. 14:8, what's he say? He says, for whether I live to the Lord. Which means absolutely one with Him. Whether I die, I die to the Lord. Therefore, whether I live or I die, I am the Lord's. Whether I go to school or I come home from school, I am the Lord's. No matter what, we live to the Lord. We die to the Lord. I am the Lord's. One of the greatest joys in the Christian life is to have the fresh realization and experience, I am the Lord's!
Amen.
I belong to no one else. Especially myself, me, I. I am the Lord's. The more we release ourselves to Him, to belong to Him, the more we're able to be occupied with Him and possessed by Him. Whoever you belong to, that's who will occupy you. That's who will possess you. According to the truth, we belong to Jesus. We belong to the man of God so that we could be occupied with Him. We could be possessed with Him day by day. You know, Philippians 3:12, brothers and sisters, is a wonderful verse. Why don't you look at that for a second? Philippians 3:12. Not that I've already obtained or am already perfected, but I pursue. I pursue, if even I may lay hold of that for which I've been laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul's attitude, you know what it meant for Paul to exercise his spirit? It meant for him to pursue. Exercise and pursue go together. And it means to lay hold. Exercise the spirit, lay hold. Exercise, pursue. The more we pursue the Lord, the more we can be occupied with Him and possessed by Him. This should be our view as a man of God. I like, how many of you as students during your school year live a very busy life? Tell the truth. Come on, you can put your hand up. Huh? Some of you don't look like you're very busy. I know you are. You're very busy. But brothers and sisters, in the midst of our busyness, you know what I have hanging on my desk, my lamp? Two little signs. One thing, one sign says one thing. The other sign says Christ. In the middle of doing many things, just do one thing. Pursue Christ. In the middle of many things, never drop the simplicity, pursuing Christ. The more we pursue Him as our unique goal, the more we can be occupied with Him and possessed by Him. That same chapter 3, Philippians, what's it say in verse 14? It says, after he says one thing in 12, he says, I pursue toward the goal. For the prize which God in Christ Jesus has called me upward. The exercise of our spirit includes pursue. Pursue. I pursue the man of God. I pursue so that I could be occupied with Him and I could be possessed by Him. Thank the Lord for this week of the college training to do one thing. Pursue Christ. Amen. Pursue the man of God. Amen. Isn't it good to give your week for this? Brothers and sisters, my spirit is refreshed. Amen. By seeing so many young people, college students, wanting to give a week just to do nothing but pursue Christ. So that we could be occupied with Him and possessed by Him. So this makes us a man of God. Now, D, he is a God-man who is the same as God in life and nature and expression and in function for the carrying out of God's economy. Amen. My favorite verse, 1 Corinthians 6:17. What's that verse? But he who is joined to the Lord... Amen. I mentioned in the training, so you can see. It even has the verse reference on the inside and outside of the sock. Hallelujah! Amen. Recently, I was in a room where there was a fellow that was an unbeliever, and I'd never met him before, and I wasn't going to be there long. We were just in a And he saw the socks. He said, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit." Just for him to read a verse like that, we pray he could get saved.
Amen.
But these socks, a brother in Brisbane, Australia, gave them to me because he knew I loved these verses. He gave me 6 pairs. Amen. But brothers and sisters, this is an awesome verse. This means we have an organic union with the man of God. I believe Brother Lee's most common and deepest yearning within him, whether he was giving a speaking, whether he was interacting with people, visiting, his deep burden was, "Lord, keep me one spirit with you." Because at any given moment that we are one spirit with him, we are one with the man of God. And we become his continuation. We become the same as he is in life, in nature, expression, and brothers and sisters, even in function. That means that when you meet a fellow classmate and you're in union with him, and even you say something that may not be spiritual, but you're one in life and nature with the man of God, Jesus Christ. And even your function to say something to that other student, to help them in any way, is Jesus in you, living through you. And he's able to function. And brothers and sisters, many times the gospel is preached without spiritual words. It's because we are practicing to be one spirit with the man of God, Jesus Christ. How about we all pray right now? Oh Lord Jesus, keep me one spirit with you all the time. Oh Lord Jesus, keep me one spirit with you all the time. How about pray, read with your neighbor for 20 seconds. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Okay, saints. Hallelujah. He is a person whose being, doing, living, and work are according to God and God's heart and is a representative of God. Paul said, whatever I do, even I forgive somebody, I do it in the face, the eyes, the intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever I do it in oneness with the man of God, Jesus Christ. That's chapter 2, 2 Corinthians 2:10. If I forgive anybody, I do it in the person of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 5, verse 20, it says that we are ambassadors of God. And we live a life on behalf of Him. On behalf of Him. What does that verse actually say? 2 Corinthians 5:20. On behalf of Christ, then we are ambassadors. As God entreats you through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. So twice it uses that, on behalf of Christ. We are His representatives. Praise the Lord!
Amen.
This is wonderful, brothers and sisters. Who is a God-man? Is a God-man is a representative of Christ. a representative of God. Everybody that knows Ephesians 3:17a, say amen. I knew quite a few. What does it say? What's it say? Say it loudly. Don't say it like... What's it say?
That Christ made His home in your heart through faith.
Very good. Again, louder. That Christ
may make His home in your heart through faith.
That Christ may occupy and be one with your mind, your emotion, will, your conscience. He would make His home in our hearts. So that we and He are one. Our living is on behalf of Christ. There's that little phrase in 2 Corinthians 5:20, be reconciled to God. That doesn't just mean positionally through the Lord's death, but it means we become one with Him. One with Him. He and we and He become one. Last year in New Zealand, the New Zealanders are Kiwis. But we don't want to be Kiwis, we want to be Hiwis. Amen!
Amen.
He and we and He become absolutely one. How's this possible? By Christ building Himself into our heart. So brothers and sisters, when He's builded, He makes home in our heart, it means my mind, my thinking is expressing Him. My feelings are expressing Him. My will is in oneness with His. This is a man of God. Now, brothers and sisters, what's the key? What's the key to this letter E being such a person? Intimacy. Nothing but love can keep us in a proper relationship with the Lord. How about we declare two times, oh Lord Jesus, I love You. Oh Lord Jesus, I love You. Oh Lord
Jesus, I love You.
Now saints, F, this corresponds to the mystery of godliness, which is God manifested in the flesh. God manifested in the flesh. The mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16 means God manifested in the flesh. A man of God is a man who manifests God in the flesh, in his flesh. Then the last letter, what a man of God is. If we're faithful to be such men of God, living by the eternal life and not by the natural life, then we will be part of the Lord's continuation on the earth. Everybody that wants to be part of the Lord's continuation on the earth, say amen.
Amen.
What's the key? The key, this right here in this sentence. We want to be those who are faithful to be such men by living by the eternal life. Again, in 1 Timothy 6, brothers and sisters, we read verses 11 and 12. But I didn't emphasize, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the eternal life. What's the key to being the continuation of Jesus living on the earth? Lay hold of the eternal life.
Amen.
Who's the eternal life? It's Jesus Christ, who is the man of God. He's the God-man. With the God-man living. So what's the need? Not just to outwardly imitate. We may see the revelation of Him with many details, but the key is every moment, even now, lay hold on the eternal life. This means we're not here just to outwardly imitate, but we're here to be one with Him who has come into us as the eternal life. Everybody in this room that has the eternal life, say, hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
You better stand up and shout, hallelujah, I have the eternal life.
Hallelujah, I have the eternal life.
Sisters.
Hallelujah, I have the eternal life.
Brothers.
Hallelujah, I have the eternal life.
Thank you all. So, brothers and sisters, this is the key. This is the key to be such a man of God. With all this vivid description of a man of God in all these points, lay hold on the eternal life. Practice to always exercise your spirit. Whether you open the Bible, whether you call on His name, whether you sing, whether you say, Amen! Whatever we do, we exercise our spirit. Thank the Lord, for 1 week we're in the heavenly gymnasium. Exercising our spirit.
Amen.
To lay hold on the eternal life. Now, brothers and sisters, the man of God is charged to flee and to pursue. And there's a good number of details here. He should flee the negative things. So, brothers and sisters, there's a very helpful negative things. The first and the foundational thing we should flee is different teachings. Any teaching different from God's economy, flee! Don't waste your time! Don't use your energy! Brothers and sisters, I've been a Christian now since 1958. At the end of high school, I got saved. And I have to say, since coming into the Lord's recovery in 1968-69, I've seen something, and I'm still seeing this great truth of God's economy, which is the greatest truth in the whole Bible. This is the unique teaching. Without seeing this truth, this teaching, we will end up wasting our time. The truth concerning God's economy. In a simple way, brothers and sisters, I've mentioned this. God's economy is three things. His plan, to fill us with nothing but Christ. His way, by Christ taking steps through incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, becoming a life-giving spirit to get into us to be our life. And when Christ comes into us to be our life, then we become members of Christ, the expansion of Christ, to be filled with Christ, and we become the body of Christ, which is the goal of His economy. His economy is fill us with Christ. His economy is Christ Himself becoming a life-giving spirit to be distributed into us. His economy is us becoming the enlargement of Christ as the body of Christ. So God's economy is filled with Christ, Christ, Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah! So what is God's economy filled with?
Christ.
And of course, we're included because Christ is mingled with us. So that we could become the enlargement and expansion and continuation of Christ. I want to emphasize this first thing to flee. Because, brothers and sisters, if we give all our attention to this great truth, it will take care of the other problem, pride. If you don't see the truth of God's economy, you'll just be occupied full of pride. Number three, the love of money. You'll be just going after money. Even if you don't have any, you love it. You don't have to have a lot of money to love money. The love of money is the root of all evil, even if you're the most poor person. Worldly and fleshly lusts. Brothers and sisters, without seeing the truth of God's economy, which is full of nothing but Christ, so we realize I need to be occupied with Him every day, enjoying Him every day. What will happen? We'll be overtaken by worldly lust. So, brothers and sisters, we need to flee, especially these days. Even more so with internet. You can get into anything to fulfill the lust of the flesh. You can go anywhere. You can get into anything. Brothers and sisters, flee!
Amen.
Flee!
Amen.
Tell your neighbor really strongly, flee.
Flee!
Don't think about it. Don't, why wander? Flee! Get out of there! Don't mess around. The man of God is charged to flee. Fornication. Brothers and sisters, this is a great matter. Fornication. Flee fornication. Flee. Fornication is almost accepted by today's society. Just a way of life. Brothers and sisters, flee!
Amen.
The biggest damage to we vessels who belong to the Lord is fornication. This is the biggest damage. Nothing is more damaging. And Satan wants to destroy, especially those of us who belong to the Lord. Especially he wants to destroy us through fornication. Number one, to get us occupied just by thoughts, just by imaginations, just by pictures. And then number two, to actually get us involved physically. So concerning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's the word?
Flee.
Flee! Flee! Don't mess with, don't entertain, flee. Now, B, he should pursue Christ as all of the positive virtues. Brothers and sisters, this is good. We got positive virtues, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Every one of them is Christ. All these virtues are tremendous. But all these virtues are made real in and by and with and through Christ. Righteousness, to be right with people before God according to His righteous and strict requirements. So, brothers and sisters, we want to pursue Christ. Why? Because He is the man of God. And Christ is right. Ask your neighbor, who's the most right person in this room? What did your neighbor say? That's true. That's true. Who else is the most right person? The person who enjoys Christ the most. So give your answer. Give your neighbor the other answer. Brother Lee was sharing this one time in Berkeley, 1977. He said the most right person is a person who enjoys Christ. When you're enjoying Christ, you're one with the one who loves righteousness. Two, godliness, to live a daily life that manifests God. Wow, the key is pursue Christ, then you live a daily life that manifests God. Brothers and sisters, we will be put into situations in classrooms, on airplanes, in grocery stores, in this situation, that situation. What is needed is the manifestation of God in the flesh. The key to being such an expression of the man of God is pursuing Christ. Number three, faith, to believe in God and His Word, and to trust in Him and His Word. Amen. Faith, to believe in Him, in God and in His Word, and to trust in Him and His Word. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we had a good view of what it means to be who is a man of God. Now, a key to being a man of God is this fivefold fleeing. And now this sixfold pursuing. Okay, let's keep going. Faith. Love. To love others by the love of God. If you read 1 John 4, those verses, you will just be astounded and appreciating again the love of God, and that we can be one with the Lord to love others. Let's read those verses in 1 John real quickly. Ready, go? 1 John 4. 1 John 4, 7 and 8, and then 19 through 21. Okay. How about all the sisters read 7 and 8, and then brothers 19 to 21? Ready, go. Amen. 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 8. Hallelujah. God is love. Okay, brothers, 19 to 21. Amen. Brother, whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Praise the Lord! How about we declare, I love God and I love my brothers.
I love God and I love my brothers.
Endurance, to endure sufferings and persecution. And this verse in 2 Timothy 1:6 indicates this and speaks about this. So, brothers and sisters, when Christ is our endurance, even, brothers and sisters, even if we're being rejected by some classmates, some friends, we will not have a problem because Christ is our endurance. Neither will we become angry, neither will we become discouraged, because Christ is our endurance. Then meekness, to not fight for oneself in the face of opposition. Rather than fighting, we would just humble ourselves. Humble ourselves, even in being opposed. Brother Lee was really a pattern like this. So, brothers and sisters, this is possible. This is possible by pursuing Christ. By giving him the first and the best love. Do one thing every day. We do one thing in this meeting. Let's pursue Christ.
Amen.
Pursue toward the goal. Every moment. Tonight I'm not here just to give a successful marriage. A successful message. I'm here to pursue Christ.
Amen.
I want to be in that marriage. Amen.
Amen!
We're not for this, we're not for that. We're here just to pursue Christ.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, flee and pursue. This is like defense and offense. You know, I used to play football, and a lot of people here played sports, and sometimes a sport like football, one of the statements that people make is the best defense is a good offense. In other words, if you're really strong to pursue Christ, I tell you, you won't be spending all your time just fleeing. We want to flee! But I tell you, if we spend all our time pursuing, we won't be occupied with all these other things. So let's strengthen our offense.
Amen.
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 But don't misunderstand me. According to the Bible, we need both a good offense and a good defense. Flee and pursue.
Amen.
See, he should fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on the eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, all of you will be reading excerpts from this message. And I'd like to refer you to page 64. Page 64, it touches this matter. How can we be such a man of God described in the first point, second point, and then those who are fleeing and pursuing? What's the secret of being such a man of God, such a person fleeing and pursuing? The secret You see on page 64, there's very precious, that top paragraph is wonderful. But right toward the end of that, toward the end of that first paragraph, therefore Paul indicates that Timothy must be such a person, that is, he must be a man of God. Everybody that can see where I am now, do you see where that is toward the end of the first paragraph? Let's read those last two sentences together. Christ. Christ was truly a man of God, living righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance. Now, a man of God not imitating outwardly, but a man of God by the divine life. Amen. Hallelujah! Amen. Christ is our life.
Amen.
Christ put on human nature, become a man like me. He died upon the cross, so die from Adam, might be free, risen and a spirit. He's come to live in me, that he might be my
life.
That he might be my
life.
Wow. That's how we live this living of a man of God. Now look at the end of the next paragraph, brothers and sisters. Faithful child. Let's read that quotation to the end of that paragraph. Faithful child, you have been part of my continuation. I lived on earth as a man of God. You were my continuation because amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Then the key, at the very end, the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. So, brothers and sisters, we want to be those who are genuinely a man of God. We want to be those who live a life of flee,
amen,
pursue,
amen,
fight.
Amen.
You know, point C is fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, the key is every day, every moment, lay hold on Christ, the man of God, Jesus Christ, who today is in us as the eternal life. Enjoy Him. Touch Him. Eat Him. He who eats me shall live because of me. And we can eat Him by breathing in His Word. All Scripture is God-breathed. So, brothers and sisters, a lot of the verses we've touched tonight, you can take time later to just eat them together. Exercise your spirit by means of all kinds of prayer to pray over the verses and to receive the man of God as the very life, so that we could become a man of God who's complete. That the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Okay, saints, let's look at the last point, D. We as the man of God are being charged by the Lord. Charged by the Lord. Okay, D, what's D say? He should keep the charge until... What charge? The charge of what? The charge of all... There's a lot of charge, but the main charge is lay hold on the eternal life. This is the key. Lay hold on the eternal life. This Jesus Christ as the man of God is my life! So every moment I want to lay hold of Him.
Amen.
This is the charge. This is the charge. So that I could be one with Him, one with the one who is a man of God, one with the one who flees all those things, one with the one who pursues every aspect of the life and living of a man of God. Let's read Roman numeral 4 and the 2 points together with a strong spirit. Go. First Timothy.
With the charge to a man of God.
God's desire is to produce men of God by dispensing himself into those who believe. These God-men, as the children of God, are the members of the body of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. How about we stand and sing, Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. Ready? Christ has put on human nature and become a man like me. I from Adam might be free. He has risen and his spirit. He has come to live that he might be my life.
Glory,
glory, hallelujah, glory.